and welcome to episode 9 of the Road to Change podcast, 10,000 mile walk to stop the silence and stop child sexual abuse. My name's Matty McVarish and I'm in Bulgaria, country number 19, and I'm in Yvonne with Stiglo MacIver.
Good day.
And this week on the Road to Change with me is my brother Roddy.
Hello, how are you getting on?
So as you can probably hear from the rain, we're literally at the side of the road in Yvonne. Where are we exactly?
About 140,
130-ish,
something like that.
140 kilometres from Bucharest. So where are we going, Sofia? Sometimes I don't know. So we're in country number 19, and this week my brother Roddy has flown out from Ireland to join me and to walk from Romania to Sofia. So how are you finding it, Roddy?
Be honest, yeah, it's tough. Yeah, there's no doubt about it. My feet are absolutely killing me. It's only been 3 days, and I've blisters the size of the whole sole of my feet.
All the European countries.
Sole of my feet.
Well, I'm amazed that you're keeping up though. Like, I mean, I'm not going easy on you. Like, I'm still going fast.
Yeah, I mean, there was, you know, especially when we've seen the rain coming, you know, and you know, I was the one that says, "Mum, Matthew, we'll push it on," you know, because we could see Yvonne off in the distance. But the thing is, I'm convinced, you know, when you see, you get to the end of, you know, you have a target to hit, you know, when Stiglo drives Yvonne and you can see her off in the distance, you know, and your head's down again and you keep walking and you lift your head again and Yvonne's still miles away, you know. So I'm convinced Stig just drives at walking pace away from us, you know.
Like a rainbow.
It's the feeling of actually getting to Yvonne and seeing Stig, you know, a big smiley head on him, you know. Getting to sit down with a cup of coffee, you know, it's great.
It's a nice wee system. I mean, like, for folk who don't quite understand how we do it, it's very, very simple. You know, we wake up in the morning. Every day we normally do about 40 kilometres. Stig drives ahead 15 kilometres and then I walk. And I catch up about 2 hours later. And we have a cup of tea and then Stig heads on. So that's what we're doing, but this week, which is really unusual for me, Roddy's with me, which is really, really, it's really nice. You've walked with me longer than anyone else so far. I mean, a whole bunch of British ambassadors have walked with me for like, depending on how fit they were, some of them walked for like 10 minutes and some for 2 hours, but you've walked three days now.
3 days, yeah.
Is it 300,000 steps?
Roddy's done almost 300,000 steps.
Aye. Yeah, and I felt every one of them. You know, in fact, no, the first day it was grand. The second day that, you know, you start feeling it. The third day, you know.
First day was quite easy.
Yeah.
Well, I think your first day is just all exciting and new. And
oh, yeah. As I said to Tracy in that before I left, I said I'll be all enthusiastic the first day and I'll tear off, you know. And the second day I'll be moaning a wee bit, the third day I'll be crying, then the rest of it I'll just be screaming.
It's only like when I see someone else doing what I do that I realise how much my body's adapted, you know, because if you'd have seen Roddy try to pick up that pen, dropped a penny after the end of the walk about an hour ago, and it took about 5 minutes for it to get down and pick it up and get up again.
Typical Scotsman going down for it.
I know.
Usually I just say, "Ach, no, I'll leave it."
It's really fun. I mean, like, it's a different country, Bulgaria. Roddy got here, we crossed from the border of Romania here to Bulgaria, and it is very different to Romania. Mm.
You can see it from just the ferry. You can see the difference between
I mean, it's funny because according to the EU research, Bulgaria has the lowest, or I don't know how you would say it, the lowest or the worst level of poverty in the EU. But it's not evident so far because in Romania, like the side of the roads are littered, like terribly littered. And anytime there's been a car crash, the bits of the cars are still lying around, which is quite scary if you're walking down the road all day. But and there's not so much any of that in Bulgaria, and the buildings look a bit more. You know, the buildings and the roads
well
are a bit newer.
Care of it, I'm saying.
The only thing I've noticed greatly about the difference between where I live in Ireland and here is the footpaths. The footpaths here are so badly broken up, you know.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to watch your footing every time, you know, and it's it's strange to see how bad the footpaths are.
Because it is EU, I mean,
it is EU. You expect it to, well, I suppose, you know, you're thinking when you're back at home, you don't realise that European countries are in that kind of state yet, still.
I know, because people, like you said earlier, people would be tripping over that intentionally just to make a claim.
Yeah.
Whereas here, that obviously doesn't happen, it's not a reality here. But, I mean, it's funny because we crossed the Danube, we walked onto the boat and walked off the boat. So the border of Romania and Bulgaria is the Danube. And thankfully, by the looks of it, all the wild dogs in Romania didn't swim across. Either that, or all the snakes have eaten the dogs.
Yeah. The first thing we've seen when we came over was the snakes.
Well, the biggest one we saw, which was about 5 foot, was already dead. But then a minute later we saw one about 3 foot. It was fine.
But I would have died if I couldn't.
Not a fan of the snakes.
No, I can't stand it.
Yeah.
Not at all.
Well, just you stay in it, and you'll be alright. Yeah. We'll do the walking. But it's funny because, like normally I walk up the grass at the side of the road, but now, I mean, I've seen a pretty big lizard today. And we're heading south in Europe. We're heading down towards the next country's Greece, which is, you know, I in my head, Greece, the ground's orange. I don't know why I always thought, but it's probably not.
I imagine Greece to have a lot of beaches, that's all.
A lot of beaches, there's coast all the way around Greece, isn't there? But there's
that would be amazing, just nip into the water there for a second.
But I've only been to the Greek islands, I've not been to mainland Greece. But what I'm starting to see is more reptiles on the road. Obviously snakes and these lizards, and that one today was huge.
Yeah.
But it means that I'm tempting to walk on the road as opposed to walking in the grass because I don't want to stand on something.
I walk on the road because it's flatter. My feet are so badly blistered when I walk on the side of the road where it's all wee stones and that. You know, even though you get reasonably good boots on, you can still feel every single stone.
It's like a needle going through your foot. And I remember it, yeah. And I do occasionally get a blister. Occasionally, if I walk over like 50 kilometres, it just starts to get sore.
Yeah.
And when it's hot outside.
It's very hot.
Well, what happened was Roddy wanted to come and walk with me from, you know, one city to another, but we have a certain amount of time in order to get there. And in his flights, he couldn't fly out until the second. So what I did was I walked 140 kilometres in 3 days. So it was just 50 kilometres. And what happened was we realised that we've walked about 1,000 kilometres south of, you know, since it was snowing when we were in Bratislava. And now, you know, only about 6 weeks later, here we are, and it's, you know, other than today, which is passionate, then the temperature's jumped about 15, 20 degrees since I was in those countries. And obviously my legs and my feet have adapted to this walking, but we realised that inside my shoes, because it's so hot now, the skin hasn't adjusted. So when I walked 50 kilometres, can't remember what day it was, Tuesday? Tuesday. Like I basically, after 20 kilometres, I got a blister in my foot. And after 30 kilometres, I was obviously stepping funny on my ankle because I was trying not to step on my foot because of the pain in the blister. So then the pain in my ankle then kind of travelled up to my opposite hip as I was trying not to try to take the weight off my ankle. So it was hurting my hip, and then eventually the pain in my hip moved around to my back. So by the end of 50 kilometres, I was just staggering. So, but I was fine the next day because, you know, but you just keep going.
You do. I mean, I've noticed it myself, you know, starting off in the morning, you know, what, day two and day three is the toughest part, is to get my legs going again, your feet are extremely sore, you know, when you start off and your feet are really sore, then after a while, your mind just switches off to that pain, you know, and the added bonus is that me and you get to, well, you know, when we get a chance to walk beside each other, you know, when we have a foot bath or, you know, a wider part. And we chat away, and you totally forget about everything, you know, and you can just chat away, and you know, it's good crack, and it's good to hear, you know, because me and Matthew, obviously, I've lived in Ireland for 20 years now, so me and Matthew never really, you know, other than a week here and a week there, you know.
I was about 8 when you left home,
yeah.
You know, so I don't really have many memories of you living there.
I was 20. I think it's 20 years ago, anyway. It must be.
I remember all the way through school and high school and adult life, you've been my big brother that lives in Ireland.
Yeah, yeah.
you know, you always were, and the rest of us all live in Scotland. Or, you know.
But that's the great thing about this week, is the fact that me and you get to spend, you know, maybe 5-6 hours a day standing and chatting to you.
Yeah, well,
you know,
walking and chatting.
You know, hearing about everything that's went on in your life and everything that's went on in my life, you know. And it's great to hear it, you know, because you never really get that chance when you grow older.
Yeah.
You know, you never get a, you know, 6 hours a day to stand and chat to your brother. You know what I mean?
I know. It'd be nice if they all came out one at a time and was get a good chat with Libby and then Roddy. It's funny because Roddy, you went off in a totally different direction in life. We started in Westwood Hill in this East Kilbride. And what was funny was a couple of years ago, Roddy and I ended up in New York.
That's right.
And I was marching in my kilt in the Tartan Day Parade, which is in like New York during Tartan Week. And the week before, Roddy had been marching in his ambulance uniform for the National Irish Ambulance Service. Am I saying that right?
National Ambulance Service.
Of Ireland.
Of Ireland, yeah.
And in the St. Patrick's Day Parade. So we're marching down the same street in New York. 2 weeks, it was a week apart, and I was marching for Scotland, you were marching for Ireland. I was like, what are the chances of two? You know what I mean? We came from the same house and we went off in completely different directions. And
yeah.
The reason I was in the march is because To Kill a Kelpie, the movie I'd written, or the play I'd written, was kind of programmed off Broadway. So we were there doing Kelpie in New York as part of Tartan Week, and Stop the Silence, Stop Child Sexual Abuse, who kind of co-produced it, were hosting talkbacks with the audience afterwards. And then because it was part of Tartan Week, we were invited to march down Fifth Avenue or whatever street it was. I can't imagine.
Yeah, it's Fifth Avenue. And it's the main stretch down. It was great. And as you say, I was there with the National Ambulance Service, and we marched the whole way down Fifth Avenue with the FDNY paramedics, you know, behind them and their band, and we were all in our dress uniforms. Great time.
That was good crack, now,
you know.
It's funny, Roddy, because like you were the, lots of people say they're going to come and walk with me because we're walking around, you know, the whole of the EU to every EU capital trying to raise awareness of child sexual abuse, which is a problem in every single country. And so, you know, that's why we do walk to every single country and try and raise awareness. And as I've seen, in some countries need it more than others. But lots of people who realise that that's an important cause and appreciate what we're trying to do, they want to get involved, and the first thing they say is, can I walk with you? And I immediately say yeah, but there's more of a kind of logistical consideration.
It's a nightmare.
Yeah. Well, it depends. Like, I mean, like, it'll be easy when I get back to the UK, because a lot of people there want to walk with me, and you know, I'm going from Portsmouth via Cardiff, Dublin, Belfast, and then across it from Stranraer to Edinburgh via Glasgow. So if you're anywhere near that, even, you know, 100 miles, you can drive and we can walk for the day. But
yeah.
But
put some practice on. In fairness, I practiced as hard as I could, but nothing prepares you for the
slot. A colleague who I've not met yet, Randa, who's in Texas, and she's planning on, and she's starting to put the, you know, the detailed planning to come and join me later in the walk. I think round about Croatia and Italy, she's going to walk with me, and I love it when, you know, obviously, normally I just walk along myself and I see what I see. And but it's really nice for someone else to experience it with me.
You do see some random things in the road, you know.
Like that guy, like today, like there was just these two Roma, it was Roma community, these two young guys who were on a horse and cart, literally in the fast lane, but going the wrong direction, down the motorway, down a dual carriageway, towards trucks.
And we were worried about walking on the dual carriageway, you know.
Because, I mean, it sounds scary, and don't panic, Mum, if you're listening to this. We do walk on a dual carriageway, which in the UK you'd be arrested for, but it's not the same here. Like, there's no...
Yeah, I actually feel safer on a dual carriageway.
Yeah.
Because all you need to worry about is the cars coming towards you, and you can see them clearly.
Yeah.
And you don't have to worry about the cars behind you, because there's a crash barrier between you and them, you know. So you actually, walking on the dual carriageway, because you're at the side of it, you're not walking on a carriageway, you actually feel, I feel safer on it, you know.
Yeah, definitely, because it's the... Back today, at one point, a guy, when there was nobody else in the road, a guy was coming up behind us. He was tooting his horn and he swerved towards us.
Yeah,
he wasn't overtaking anyone. He was on the road by himself. Yeah. He was just kind of trying to freak us out. But that, you know, that happens. You know, that's fine. We got moved by the police the first night Roddy was here.
Yeah,
first night in Bulgaria, we're sleeping. Well, we weren't sleeping yet, but
we were cooking Now we're gonna watch some
Tune the Fat. We're just gonna sit there and watch Tune the Fat that Uncle Mojo sent us over the DVD. Yeah.
And that's the programme Tune the Fat. Me and Matthew want to sit and looking at Stig chewing a bit of fat.
We'll sit and chewing the fat. But and the police arrived, the Bulgarian police arrived outside, and we were just parked at the side of a random road, and they just said, you know, you can't park here because...
And we said, why? And they said, well, a lot of bandits here.
There's bandits, yeah.
Sorry, it's not a safe country.
He said, it's not a safe country, yeah. He said, we don't want you to be the victim of bandits, so they advised us, they didn't make us move, they advised us to drive back into the town. So we slept in the car park of a hotel, which felt very safe. Yeah. Last night we parked at the car park of a big shopping centre.
Coughland.
And tonight we don't know where we're going to park, but don't worry, it doesn't, I mean, maybe we're blissful ignorance here, but it doesn't feel unsafe.
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. Not one bit.
I felt Romania was, felt a bit more unsafe. Not unsafe, but this, Bulgaria so far doesn't feel unsafe at all. And even the cars you when you're out driving, when you're walking there, it's not the same as in Romania. So.
The first time I felt threatened on the whole road to change was just on Wednesday there. We were invited to, road to change was invited to visit a Roma community. And, you know, it was the most remote community, one of the more remote communities in Romania. And we went there, Amanda and I were taken by an NGO, and it was really nice to be invited to meet these people. And I'll be honest, it was a complete culture shock to meet these families who, you know, families of 10 who live in literally one room. And you see that on, you know, comic relief when you're watching these families in Africa. But like I say, this is in the EU, and these families, they don't have, you know, they all have one, each child has one pair of shoes, if that, you know, maybe they even share shoes, and they don't, it was just hard for me to comprehend that level of poverty. But we stepped out the car into their little village, and one of the young guys just immediately took a beeline for me, and he didn't understand why I was wearing a kilt, which he thought was a skirt, and he got on the verge of aggressive. Because the translator said to me, he doesn't approve of what you're wearing. And then he started asking me, you know, do men marry men in your country? And I was like, right, there's 300 people in this village who probably have the same opinion of him as, you know. And I was thinking, this could escalate into aggression very quickly. So I had to try and politely diffuse. But you can't diffuse, you know, because the translator has to explain what I'm saying. So I was like, oh. That's the first time in 10 months that I felt this could get dangerous and I could get, you know, seriously injured here. And it was just that we were in their community and I was wearing a kilt. But we tried to explain to them that this is what even soldiers wear back in my country. But it was one of those diplomatic, you know, sensitive moments diplomatically. But yeah, that was pretty intense for a minute. Mm. But it was weird being in that community again. Like, a little boy came over and we asked him how old he was, and he said, I don't know. And that really blew my mind, because, all you know, I'm an uncle of, what, 11? Be 11 kids next week?
Yeah.
Thunder rolls. And kids, you know, the first thing you do when you meet a kid is go, yeah, how old are you? But this little boy didn't know how old he was, and we figured out he was about 8. But I just couldn't understand. I couldn't imagine a world where you don't know what age you are, because it means that, you know, like, we all look at our iPhones every day and we look at the calendar and we think, where are we in relation to our lives in the world and what's happening next week. If you never did that, you know, if you were removed from, if you were in a place where it doesn't matter what day it is and you actually don't know what day it is, you know, because that NGO go there and they try and help these communities with the very, very, very basic things, like teaching them how to grow tomatoes and so they can feed themselves and basic things like that, and we're walking around Europe trying to make sure that all children have the same rights, you know. It just, for me, it was like, where do we begin? Yeah. Where do we begin? It was for the road to change, it was just the outer limit of what I could comprehend, I think. And because like things like in the UK, your children are not supposed to be exposed to any sort of, you know, sexual images. But when 10 of you live in the same house, when your parents, you know, have more children when they're having, they're creating more children in the bed next to you, basically. You know, kids are witnessing that. So that would, you know, in the UK, social work would get involved and stop that, I guess. But it's not even something to consider there. So that was just a complete culture shock. And apparently, you know, that's there's similar communities here in Bulgaria. But we'll go, as I say, in about 5 days' time or so, we'll be in the city and we'll just do our usual. Okay. We'll reach out to the media, reach out to the government, and reach out to the NGOs and just see what we can do.
I'll reach out to the plane and try and stagger up the stairs.
It's funny though, Roddy, because part of me was nervous about you coming because so many things on the road to change have happened. Like, we couldn't have planned it. They were so perfect. Like, I found a wallet in the street and, you know, we got free. Because I found a wallet in the street, we ended up with free accommodation in Warsaw for a week from Marina, who was a friend of the person who owned the wallet. And here's my brother, who's an advanced paramedic, coming out here. And I just thought, you know, I started imagining people saying, what are the chances? You know, yeah. When you finally got ran over, just like you're yeah. walking with an advanced paramedic. You know, or what are the chances when you finally got mauled by a dog, you know, you're walking with a paramedic. So yeah. So I was like, okay. When I wave you off in the plane, part of me is going to be like, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But, no. But it's been interesting. How are you finding it here in Bulgaria, Stigo?
It's beautiful, and I really think it's beautiful. And the drivers, not as mental as they were in Romania.
Yeah, but and the road seems slightly less.
Yeah, and the road is it's so good. It's so much better than the.
Well, we're always on the kind of EU road. We're rarely far off it. You
know? Yeah. Sure. No, but I like Bulgaria so far.
Mm-hmm. It's been good. It's been good. So have we got a nail luck of the week this week?
Well, the only thing I can think of is that we missed a boat.
But yeah, you know, not long. Yeah.
Well, the whole boat situation was a hoo-ha because, I mean, like, we got up in the morning, Roddy's first morning at walking, and all we had to do was walk 12 kilometres to the border and then...
Take the ferry over. And normally, in Sweden, like, they go... They go constantly, so they can go...
Well, they're down 700 metres wide, so you can see across. Yeah. And so we'd go back and forth all day if it was in any other country. But we got there, and we're dead excited. We saw the boat, and like, right? And the boat was in 4 hours.
We just missed a 12 o'clock one.
Yeah.
We just missed the 12 o'clock one. The next one was in 4 hours. And then...
Oh, yeah, and then when we got over,
yeah,
we got stuck in the...
Well, the boat took 10 minutes to cross,
yeah.
And then the
border police stopped us.
Because your name wasn't on the registration.
Yeah, papers. The border police were like, "Why is your?" You know, but I mean, it was one of those situations where they don't speak English. One guy spoke a little English.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how do I begin to explain what this situation is? It's like we've got a Swedish guy, two Scottish guys, and a van
from the Netherlands.
And the thing is, like, I've got flyers in my pocket that say "Road to Change," but it says Matthew McVarish, and my passport says Matthew Smith. You know. Because of the whole Doctor Who thing. And I was just like, I can't even begin to explain what's happening here. So I was like, let's just... And I started just visualising. I was like, right, just open your wee window, give me my passport and let us go. You know, I was just focusing on that. And then the window opened, we got the passports and I was like, right, just go. So we got into Bulgaria, fair enough. It was good. But I suppose the nail luck is Roddy as well, because your wee feet there, you got blisters on blisters.
Yeah. I think I've... You know, I don't know what the medical term is for blisters upon blisters.
I think the medical term is knee luck.
Yeah, it must be.
Yeah, that boy has knee, serious knee luck.
No, that's great.
But, so Mandy Bob took, I think, the night train. So she's already ahead of us in Sofia. She's setting up meetings. Hopefully we're going to meet the government and the NGOs, if they exist. I mean... I'll be honest, like, the kind of NGOs that exist in the Western Europe don't seem to be here. You know, in Romania, we met 4 NGOs. One of them was for missing children. One was for human trafficking. One, the NGO that took us to that community, they specialise in disadvantaged areas. But there's none like the Moira Anderson Foundation that help families who've been affected by child sexual abuse. They're just like, they're not, these social systems are literally don't exist here. So we'll just I'll be curious to see what we're going to find in Bulgaria. But hopefully, no matter what we find, we'll try and get it on the media and raise as much awareness as possible. And then, then we'll be on to Greece.
Smashing.
So yeah, so this is us. We're in Avon, and we've got tomorrow. We're going to rest Roddy's wee tootsies, and we're going to eat some Ulster fry, which he's flown all the way from.
Heard so much about
Donegal,
that
from Donegal.
Yeah.
And then.
Any last words, Roddy?
Any last words?
You put me on the spot now. That's what Matt does all the time.
I'm going to enjoy the week. I'm going to keep going. No matter.
You're doing. I'm impressed. Actually, I really am.
I'm determined to do it. Through the pain.
Absolutely. And I would say thank you to everyone who donated to Roddy to come.
Yeah,
because that's
right.
That's the thing. The practical side is this: what you expected it would be like here, Roddy? Like,
yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Yeah. I practiced. And I was walking in a colder climate as well. So I was doing a good few kilometres a day up until the last 2 weeks before I came over, because I was walking nearly every day. So I never get a chance to go out walking. But I thought to myself, I'll be able to do it, because I never get any blisters, And then the first day I get here, I get a blister because of the heat.
Yeah.
But as in Avon, it's smaller than I actually thought it would be, but it's cosy. And as Matthew says, it's a small piece of 312 Westwood Hill,
Yeah, it is.
It's that kind of homely...
It's not leaking.
It's not leaking
not
right
leaking
now.
From the bolts.
Yeah, even though it's hammering.
It's raining for a while.
Touch
hour
wood,
and
it's
and
currently
half
not raining.
Yeah.
Local Mojo's and Stiggle finally sorted that.
Yeah, so it's really good.
Fixed up.
Good. Yeah, and I have to thank everyone that did sponsor me. I didn't expect to raise as much as I did raise, And it was thanks to a few friends back who I gave sponsorships out to. And I got them to sponsor me on my walk, from Romania to Sofia.
Yep.
So that's why another reason why I'm determined to see it through, and not give up, because people put their money towards it, and I gave every penny to Road to Change, to keep yous going for another while,
And every penny goes directly towards, our efforts here to raise awareness for prevention and healing of child sexual abuse across Europe. And I wish in a funny way everyone could get at least see maybe we should just do a video and show folk inside of one so you show folk what their money goes to,
as long as it's not one of the Ford the smell,
smell-o-vision.
That's what I was looking for. No, it's actually not too bad. Even after the curry last night.
After the curry with three boys in the one van. And two of them with sweaty feet.
It was like the scene from Blazing Saddles when they're all sitting around the campfire,
Yeah. Stiggle, any final words?
Nah. Not really. I'm impressed by Roddy and of course by you. But yeah, looking forward to get to Sofia and then getting down south.
Yeah. Happy days. Well, it's just I'm really excited. I'm having great fun here with Roddy and Stiggle in this country number 19. And we're just so grateful to everyone who literally does. We're over the halfway point in time wise. We've made it this far without any corporate support. We're doing this. We're reaching the public, we're reaching governments, and we're reaching NGOs, and we're creating, some collaborations between NGOs internationally, sharing best practice and resources where possible. And we're doing this purely by, people donating what they can, when they can. I wish we could express our gratitude some way. So, yeah, thank you everyone who's supporting Road to Change and who has supported Road to Change. If you're listening to this, if you can, just stick it on your Facebook and tell some more people about it, because essentially it's an awareness project first and foremost.
Aye.
So, but Road to Change is organised and supported by Stop the Silence, Stop Child Sexual Abuse, in partnership with the Moira Anderson Foundation. And as I've said, we're existing without corporate support, so if you want to check out what we're doing and give us a hand, you can go to roadtochange.eu and you'll find links to all of our partners, Innocence in Danger and the Aerial Foundation International link is there as well. And you can just read about what we've been doing and where we're going next. So yeah, right boys, so until
see you next week.
Yeah.
All right.
Yep. Cheers.